What a joy it is to look out and to see this goodly number assembled today to worship the God of heaven. You're to be commended for coming out, and we're thankful that you're here. And we're so grateful that we have some visiting with us. We want you to know we consider you an honored guest. We're so encouraged to have you visiting with us. Be sure to come back tonight and hear Brother Guy preach. He'll be speaking, I think, on Job, and we'll look forward to that lesson tonight. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. And then, after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel from which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, "You are not all clean." So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The first thing I want to do is to establish that at this particular time, washing feet was a custom of hospitality. One normally would have a servant wash the feet. It would not be the person who invited you into the home. You remember in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter when Jesus went to the Pharisees' home, He did not even offer water, which would have been the custom of that day. They wore sandals, and everywhere they went, their feet would get dusty. And so when they would go into a home, they would cleanse their feet. And I want us to understand that this was not an act of worship, but a good work. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, what the Apostle Paul had to say in 1 Timothy chapter 4. When he's talking about widows in need, notice what he said to them in verse 10. That these would be women, who widows that would be qualified to receive help. He said that they had well reported for good works. If she's brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, underscore that. If she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So one thing I want us to understand this morning is feet washing is not a part of worship, but it was a good work. Now then, I want us to go back to the book of John and the 13th chapter, having that established, and notice that Jesus is here with His disciples before the Passover feast. And in the reading, you'll observe one of the great pictures of our Lord. Now, before this event took place in the life of Jesus, notice John reveals at least four things that Jesus knew. Look again in the book of Luke and John in the 13th chapter, and notice what Jesus knew in verse 1. In verse 1, Jesus knew His hour had come that He should depart from the world. Underscore, He knew. Jesus knew it was about time for Him to go to the cross. And yet, at this time, Jesus is going to stoop down and wash the disciples' feet, even though His mind knew His hour had come. Then drop down to verse 3 and notice three other things Jesus knew. In verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Jesus had knowledge of that. He knew the Father had given Him all things. Then notice the third thing. He realized he'd come from God. He knew that he was of the Godhead. And the fourth thing he knew was that he was going back to God. So there's four things in the very beginning of our study that Jesus knew was going to occur. And yet, my friend, with that on his mind, notice that Jesus is going to do something. Notice in the book of John and the 13th chapter, in verse 4, Jesus rose up to stoop down. I'll tell you, that is a powerful statement when you read your Bible. In verse 4, he rose from supper, he took aside his garment, took a towel, girded himself, and then he stooped to wash the disciples' feet. I want to put into your mind that here is Jesus washing the disciples' feet, the very ones who earlier had argued who was the greatest among them. But Jesus is showing them the attitude of a servant. Jesus rose up to stoop down, and he shows that service is the key to the life of power. Submission is key. As our brother read from the book of Luke in the second chapter in verse 51, Jesus subjected himself to his parents when he was a child. And now, my friend, he stays subjected to his heavenly Father. And notice at this time, Jesus shows that it is important to serve and to serve with humility. To subject oneself to humility. And to observe that at this time, Jesus is telling people that he is going to serve. Serving is the key to spiritual matters. And secondly, notice what the Bible says in verse 1 again. Jesus loved them to the end. The end of life? No. This means he loved them to the highest degree. Jesus loved his disciples. Even though they had made many mistakes and many blunders, Jesus loved them. And Jesus gave them an example of how they are to treat one another. But now in your Bible, in the book of John, in the 13th chapter, in verse 11, we must not overlook the fact that Jesus had the power to cleanse. Notice, if you will, that at this time, Jesus is talking, and he said to them in verse 10 that you need to be cleaned. And in verse 11, he said, you're not all clean. But then notice what he says in verses 12 and 13. He has the cleansing power. Oh, I would I could get that into your heart. Now today, Jesus is concerned not about feet being cleansed, but souls being clean. Jesus wants one to be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, not to be clean physically, but to have our sins blotted out by the power of God. When one is baptized into Christ, one becomes clean by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is concerned about cleanliness of the soul. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you come to 1 Peter chapter 3, you'll recall that at this time Peter is writing to the saints throughout Asia Minor. And Peter brings to their mind a very important statement. He talks about in verse 21, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is interested in the soul being clean. But now then, I want you to think about something else. Look at the reaction to Jesus. Jesus rose up, then Jesus stooped down, and Jesus washed the feet. But look at Peter's reaction, if you will. Notice in verse 8, Peter said, "You shall not wash my feet." It seems to me that Peter just could not see the Lord being in the form of a servant. But if you remember what Paul said in Philippians 2, that Jesus came in the form of a servant. That when he left the glory of heaven and put on robes of flesh, that he came and served. And to see Jesus serve, just looked at Peter, and Peter said, "You're not going to do that to me, Lord." And look at what the Lord said to him, "If you don't let me cleanse your feet, you have no part of me." And then Peter said, "Not just my feet, but all of me. My hands, my head, make sure I'm clean." And notice the Lord said, if you've already bathed, you're clean. But he said, not all of you are clean. I want you to get that picture of the king serving his servants. And someone may say, that's no class for a king. I'll tell you, we forget the kingdom of the Lord's different than man-made kingdoms. Jesus said in John 18:36, his kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. But I want you to look at another reaction. And this just shocks me. Judas allowed Jesus to wash his feet. And notice it said in verse 2, the devil had already put into his heart what to do. Judas knew he was going to betray him. Judas knew he had already put in his mind to set that plan in action to have Jesus betrayed. And he knew 20 pieces of silver were awaiting him. And yet at the time, my friend, he said, Jesus, you go ahead and stoop down and wash my feet. Knowing what he would do. And have you ever thought of the humility of Jesus to wash the feet of one who would betray him and the one who would deny him? I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons yours. Our many lessons I think we can learn. Number one, I think we need to learn submission. I think we need to learn to submit to one another. Take your Bible and look in the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 21. He said, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know what that means? That means that I serve and I help and I look upon one another and I esteem, as Paul said in Philippians 2, others more highly than myself. That I look at a brother in need and I am going to help. I submit myself to him. And we need to learn submission is important. In Ephesians 6, children are submit to their parents. In Ephesians 5:25, wives are to submit to their husbands. Husbands are to submit to Christ. We are in different places, but we have the same attitude of submission. That we put ourselves under the authority of our Lord. You know, there's no elite in the kingdom of God. There's only the elect. I'll tell you, sometimes we start looking up to certain ones, and if we're not careful, we can make people elite. But we all need to be servants. Secondly, when you look at service, we need to think about four things. We need to learn to serve when we can. You think about that for just a moment. And when you serve when you can. In other words, do not miss an opportunity to serve the Lord. I tell young men and young ladies, while in the days of your youth, you have an opportunity to serve the Lord. While you're young, do not think that you're going to have to be older to serve the Lord. Don't think you have to be older to serve others. Now is the time to start serving. And I'll tell you, I've been impressed with some young people who have really encouraged me. I'll tell you, Carter Watkins oftentimes will send me a text about how much he appreciates me or something. And I'll tell you, it just means so much to me that a young person would take time to write something to some old person. I say old, I might be careful with that. But I appreciate it. And in the days of your youth, young men and young ladies, you have great opportunities to serve others. And then when we think about the aged, we have an opportunity to serve others. Paul, while in prison, served others. We see that in Acts 16. We can serve even under the most difficult circumstances. So that's the first thing. Serve when you can. Don't miss opportunities to serve. Secondly, serve where you can. You know, you can serve any place. We can serve at home. We can serve at our occupation. We can serve in our recreation. We can set forth an example. We can teach. We can serve by giving those who need something. We can help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to learn to serve one another. And we can serve even under difficult circumstances. Here is a time where we need to learn that we are to serve even in a place where it may be difficult to serve. Take your Bible and look in Philippians 4:22, where Paul talks about those who served who were saints in Caesar's household. That'd be a very difficult place to serve. And yet Paul commended them. You know, sometimes I think if we're not careful, we make a lot of excuses not to serve. And sometimes I've been just as guilty. And what we need to look for is opportunities to serve, not excuses not to. Jesus, what did you say? Jesus said, I left you an example that you should do this to one another. Now, how far would you go to serve someone? Just exactly how much would you inconvenience yourself to go out and to be a servant? See, we need to serve when we can. And we need to serve where we can. And third, we need to serve how we can. Not all have the same ability and talent. Some people have great ability and great talent to do certain things while others may not. But I'll tell you, we serve in the way that we can. Some can be an elder in the house of God. And that we need elders here at O'Neill to help Tommy and Jeff. And they can serve in that capacity. We have individuals who can teach, and we need teachers. But I'll tell you, there are other opportunities to serve in your daily life, and we need to take advantage of that how we can. You know what I've appreciated? I've appreciated the cards that have been sent to my father. He'll call me and say, I received some cards. And you know, my friend, that means a lot to someone who's confined. And I'll tell you, my friend, you serve how you can. And you do it, my friend, because you want to help that individual. Because fourthly, we serve without broadcasting. Now sometimes I'll tell you that is very important for us to learn, that we don't tell everything we're doing. Sometimes if you're a preacher, you feel like you got to tell things or they don't think you're working. My friend, I need to be working not because I want people to know what I'm doing. I work to the glory of God. In Matthew 5:16, what did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. We need to serve so God will be glorified. I'll tell you something, my beloved friend, in all kindness and yet candor, where we miss it today is that many times we look for others to serve us instead of opportunities to serve others. And I see a lot of people in local churches that as long as someone's serving them, they're happy. But when they're called upon to do something, they're not happy. And I've understood a lot of people to say, well, I didn't get anything out of the service. I didn't get anything out of the preaching. My friend, my question is, are you here to get something or are you here to give something? Are you here to serve the Lord or are you here for another reason? Now, we should get something out of worship every time. But we get by giving. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10? If you give a cup of cold water in my name, you by no means will lose your reward. You give what you can. You serve how you can. And you do it without broadcasting. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of men and women. Oh, I would I could get that into my own heart. The importance of serving one another. And when we serve one another, we also serve God. How can people tell that you love them? By investing in them. Now, in a congregation this size, we're all going to have to do it. You can't expect the preachers and the elders to do it all. We all need to be invested in one another's lives. And if someone overlooks you, don't be hurt, but look for an opportunity to serve someone else. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, we start saying, what's in it for me? Instead of, how do I best serve God and my fellow brethren and my fellow man? Question, have you been cleansed from your sin? Jesus can take away your sin in baptism if you'd come. That's together.